of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. From that grave, my God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in. We won't be quiet. We shout out your praise.
Kingdom heaven come down.
Let your glory reign, shining like the day, King of heaven
Probably as long as I live, I probably will never fully understand why the God of all creation, the beginning and the end, why would he want to be called my friend? your friend. But he does. He is God with you and with me. Are you grateful?
Yes.
As we've been doing the last few months, we take a month and we just really pray for the crew and the families of one of our submarines. And today, Kevin Knox is going to lead us as we pray for the Rickover. And I don't know, obviously, I don't know that boat's schedule, obviously, but I know that many of these crews will be in and some won't be in the next few weeks. But Kevin knows this life, and so let's together pray for the crew and the families of the Hyman Rickover. Kevin.
Father, we know that your word says when we call to you, that you hear our voice. So, Father, we call out to you with thanksgiving today that we get to come into your house with praise, to worship you without any reservation, without any fear. Father, this is because of the freedom that we have in this country that has never been seen before. Father, we thank you for the sacrifice that men and women that have gone before us, they have laid down their lives for this freedom that we have today. Father, today we lift up the Hyman G. Rickover to you and their families. Father, we pray for your protection upon them as they go out to sea. In the depths of the ocean, Father, there is nowhere that they can go from your spirit. There's nowhere they can run from your presence. Father, we pray for you to protect them in the depths, to keep them from harm, to allow them to know that your spirit of peace is upon them. We pray for strength in times of weakness. We pray for courage when they are discouraged. Father, we pray for wisdom to the leadership, for the triad, the CO, the XO, the COB. We pray for guidance for them to lead the sailors below them, wisdom and insight to conduct the tasks that are assigned to them. Father, we pray for the sailors of the sub. Give them insight and understanding to operate the equipment effectively and safely so that they can go out to sea and come back safely and return to their families. And Father, we lift up the families of these sailors, the children, the wives, the mothers, the fathers, those that might fear that they might lose the ones they love as they go out to sea. Father, bring peace upon them when they are afraid. Let your love shower upon them like they have never felt before, so that they know that you are near to them when they might not feel it. Comfort them when they are afraid. Help them to trust you. We pray all of this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. Yeah, amen. Amen. God bless you as you're seated. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that so very, very much. If you're visiting with us today, it's my pleasure to welcome you. And we don't want, in a moment, we're going to clap again, just our way of saying thanks for being here. But we don't want you just to visit. We want to be connected. And so lots of easy ways to do that. But the simplest way is to text the word welcome to the number on the bottom of the screen. A link then comes back to you. Hit that link and fill out the little form, which takes you well under a minute to do that. And then we're connected. You can also hit the QR code in front of you, and that takes you to a landing page. There's a lot of interesting things on that landing page. But anyway, so we welcome you, and we're going to applaud just our way of simply saying thank you. Great to have you here. Welcome. Welcome. Those of you online, great to have you too. Great to have you. Hallelujah. I want to say thank you. You know, I'm just so appreciative for all of you. I thank you for being faithful in tithes and offerings. Let's finish strong. Amen? Let's finish strong financially so that we are positioned to do the things in 2024 that the Lord is leading us to do. Amen? So let's just, you know, let's be faithful and finish strong. But because, you know, you guys have been faithful, and continue to be faithful. You know, something around here that's extremely important is careful financial management. That's always been extremely important to us. And just this past week, thankfully, we were able to hire on just a few hours a week. She's going to come and help us. Marcia Dykes is going to come and help us. We've hired her. She's a former CPA, and she's now also the wife of the pastor of Gallup Hill Baptist Church. So right now, Seaport has three pastor's wives on staff. You know, Pastor Debbie, of course, and then Andrea Lockridge from the pastor's wife in Pawcatuck, the AG church there. And now, so it's, Lord has blessed us with some capable ladies that really help us. And so thank you. So when you respond to finance at, this is the person that you're going to be interacting with, okay? You say, well, how come I don't see her? Well, she's kind of busy on a Sunday morning at another church. So, okay. But because your faithfulness, we were able to do this, and this is going to help the church and just continue to provide a very careful quality oversight of everything that you give to the Lord. Amen? So this is very, very, it's very, very important. Yeah, you can applaud for that if you want to do that, guys. It's a good thing. And this will help out Matt as well, too, who's carried a big burden with that particular area. So lots of ways to give. You see those on the screen. And so you can do that with the giving boxes that are out there or text in church or through the app. The app is usually the best way to do that. But give however works for you. This church every Wednesday night has a ministry to girls called Impact and a ministry to boys called Royal Rangers. A couple of very important presentations this morning, and these guys are coming right now to make that. You see that Matt's doing double duty today, had to make a quick change. But it's important that we honor these young men and the young women, as you saw, for hard work. Guys, thank you.
Hello again, Seaport. My name is Matt Strand. I'm the Outpost Coordinator for Royal Rangers, Outpost 124 here at Seaport. Royal Rangers is a Bible-based mentorship ministry under the Assemblies of God that uses a highly relational and active environment to encourage Christ-like character formation in a community of Christian men. Our mission is to evangelize, equip, and empower the next generation of Christ-like men and lifelong servant leaders. One of the main methods we use to mentor young men is the advancement system. Each class uses a unique but similar advancement system. And today, Outpost 124 is pleased to offer you a special treat. We would like you to join us in recognizing and congratulating two of our young men on an incredibly significant accomplishment. We will be recognizing them for earning the Adventure Gold Award, which is the culmination of the entire Adventure Rangers class, or 3-year-long trails for grades 6 through 8. This award represents a tremendous amount of work completed, and I'm personally extremely proud of them. So on the platform, we have Commander Jay Crocker. He is currently the leader of the Adventure Rangers class, and that's where they're coming from. And then we have Commander Randy and Commander Seth. They're the leaders of the Expedition Rangers class. That's where they're going into. So Noah and Toby, come on up to the platform right now, please. Yeah. You guys can come stand right over here in front of these guys. All right, so Noah and Toby have already moved up to Expedition Rangers and are thriving in that class. All right, so Noah, step forward, please. Yep, and Commander Jay is coming over with the pin, getting ready for that. And if you could just hold the certificate up. All right, so Noah, in recognition of you completing all the necessary requirements set forth by the National Royal Rangers Ministry and this outpost, you have earned the Adventure Gold Award. Congratulations. So Commander Jay is also Noah's father. So hopefully he doesn't push too hard. So So this award is the highest in the Adventure Rangers class, so Noah will be able to wear this on his uniform until he graduates and becomes a leader. All right. Congratulations, Noah. All right, you can step back. Toby, you can step up. Toby, in recognition of you completing all the necessary requirements set forth by the National Royal Rangers Ministry and this outpost, you have earned the Adventure Gold Award. Congratulations. Commander Randy is going to pin this onto his shirt. All right, congratulations, Toby. All right, I'm so proud of these guys, and church, you should be too. This represents a lot of work and growth into godly manhood. You'll see these two continue to grow in leadership positions in other areas of their life in the years to come. Royal Rangers is not just a place to send your kids on Wednesday nights. If you take advantage of all that this ministry has to offer, like these guys are doing, you'll see significant change in your households, your church, your schools, and beyond. So let's give it up one more time for these two young men. Thank you.
Congratulations. Proud of you. Wow. Awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, guys. Go ahead and be seated. That's great. I'm now looking up to Toby. That's his surgery. He's 4.5 inches taller. It's amazing, huh? And I stand here, and as I shook Noah's hand, I remember dedicating him. So, man, it's amazing how fast it goes. Yesterday, you guys were phenomenal. I've never seen, we've never had a work day with that kind of turnout, 39 of you that came or signed up and came, and you guys knocked this place out. You made it look beautiful. And so thank you. And I want to, Josiah, where's Josiah? Josiah Hinojos, where are you? Where's Josiah? Come up over here. Come over here. I didn't know I was going to do this. Come over here. And come here. Appreciation to you. We gave this young guy the opportunity to lead yesterday.
Excellent.
Okay. And you did it. And you did well. Thank you. I appreciate it. I want to shake your hand again. You did well. I'm proud of you, man. So, hallelujah. And, yeah, we trusted him with a very important job, and he did it. And it looks beautiful, doesn't it? Thank you. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can be seated. God bless you. Isn't that great? Yeah, Bible says it's good for a young man, while he's young, to bear the burden of responsibility. It's good. So, and it's good to give honor to whom honor is due as well. Lots of opportunities around here. Guess what? I'm not going to tell you about them. You can look at them in the app. They're all right there or in email. But right now, Alice Manville is going to come and perform a verbal mime called Small Enough. Alice?
Just wanna know you're gonna hold me if I start to cry. Oh, great God, be small enough to hear me now. Oh, great God, be close enough to feel you now.
Oh, great God, be close to me.
There have been moments when I could not face the light on my own. And how could I forget we marched around our share of Jericho's? But I will not be setting out a fleece for you tonight. Just wanna know that everything. Tonight, my heart is heavy, and I cannot keep from whispering this prayer. Are you there? And I know. Just wanna know that you still know how many hairs are in my head. Oh, great God,
are you small enough?
Be small enough to hear me now.
Thank you, Alice. Beautifully done. Beautifully done. This time I'm going to release all of our, thanks, Adam, all of our teens, middle school and senior hires. You guys can head out to, going to go out this door and to the right. And if you're visiting with us today and you're a teenager and you'd like to go, feel free to join them. They're going to go into the fellowship hall right now. Today we wrap up our series, Trouble to Triumph, and I've asked Chaplain Maxwell Abishai to come and speak. Maxwell is not, he's a Navy chaplain, but he's also an ordained Assemblies of God minister and has pastored in the U.S. And so he's going to wrap this series up, Journey Through Loneliness, Moving Through Loneliness. He's going to wrap us up, and then next week we begin a Christmas series called The Miracles of Christmas. And I'm asking God for miracles in the house. Join me with that. Chaplain, you ready to go? Come on. I love this man.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Shout hallelujah this morning, church. Hallelujah. There's a joy in the house of the Lord, so we won't be quiet this morning. Shout hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Is it working, microphone?
Yeah. Okay.
You know, one of the difficult things to preach is when you are preaching and your senior pastor sits well looking at you, right? They look at you, and Adams can testify to that. But the good thing is that anytime we stand here to preach, we operate under his anointing. I am a firm believer of that. So there's a lot of grace coming from him to us. Amen. He gave us his pulpit, trusted us to deliver. So we operate under his anointing. So no matter how I made mistake, the grace is there. Amen. So stay with me. All right. So this morning, my task is to share with you how to triumph over loneliness. And this is one of the topics that I preach as a chaplain and as a pastor. So I put both two hearts on me, right, to present this. So please stay with me, okay? And let's go. Now, let me begin by saying that God said in his word that it's not good for a man, for a woman, for anyone to be alone. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verse 18. That is why he made us for relationships. We have both vertical relationship with God, right? And we have what we call the horizontal relationship with people. Okay? In the book of Genesis, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, and then Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, we have both vertical relationship with God and horizontal relationship with our peers, right? But if for some reason you experience loneliness in your life, do not be afraid to say, "I feel lonely." Say it. Amen. Do not be afraid to say, "I feel lonely." As Christians, we should accept it as one of the tools God can use to help us discover our true purpose, to seek after him, and begin to work on whatever issue are there in our life that is prohibiting us from enjoying this thing called fellowship. Hallelujah. So now, let's start with Jesus. I was going through the scriptures, and I just came across these two heroes in the Bible, Jesus and David. Now, these two heroes has too many commonalities, right? Okay, so let's see how Jesus handled loneliness, and then we're going to learn from how David also handled loneliness. So if you have your Bibles, they open the book of Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 45. In NIV is what I'm going to read. It says, "Now very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up." Now, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. No, you didn't hear me. I'm going here. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. Church, you're not helping me to preach. I'm going here. He said, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. I don't know how dark your situation may be, but if you can stand in the moment and look around you, there is light. David said, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I fear no evil. Now, you can't see shadow in dark place. You only see shadow when there's light. So David said, even though I went to a darkest moment, I saw light. You didn't hear me, church. I said, I saw what? Light. So very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and went off to a solitary place. When he prayed, where he prayed, now Simon and his companion went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you, Jesus." He replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby village, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogue and driving out demons. 40. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knee. "Now, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and after the sacrifice, and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, come on, say it with me. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news as a result. Now, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely place, yet the people still came to look for him everywhere. Hallelujah. Now, Jesus is teaching us in this scripture, it's not about him waking up early, going out, just got up in the morning. I'm not an early person anyway, but sometimes I tried, right, to get up early. But this scripture, he was not teaching us the importance of getting up early. Now, Jesus woke up early in the morning. Why? To hide? Follow me, church. Jesus went up early, yes, to hide. Okay, stay with me. Jesus woke up early in the morning to hide from the crowd. That's number one. He woke up early in the morning to hide from the crowd. Probably Peter, because Peter will look for him. One time, I came back home, and my daughter Maxwella, she's so funny. When I came, she just said hello, and I couldn't find her again. So no, Brother Adams, she went to hide somewhere, my daughter, thinking I will come and look for her. And that will make her feel like she's kind of not important. I said, "What are you talking about, darling? We know you are important. So you're going to hide somewhere and expect me to come and look for you? I have so many things going in my head." But Jesus woke up early in the morning to hide from the crowd and go after something that's more significant than the crowd. Church, when you pursue something important than the crowd, you end up leading the crowd. You didn't hear me? I said, when you pursue something more important than the crowd, you end up leading the crowd. Someone said, you cannot lead an orchestra unless you turn your back to the crowd. Yeah, I'm telling you that, right? You cannot lead an orchestra unless you turn your back, what? To the crowd. So it is important as a believer that sometimes you disconnect from these external in order not to be driven by the agendas coming from outside. Very, very important. Jesus also got up in the morning, number two, to do what? To pray. Okay. He went out to pray to align himself to his purpose in life. Now, whenever you decide to become yourself and live a life from within, you become lonely. Because everyone around you wants you to be like them. Or want you to be them. But when you decide that you want to become who you are and go what God has given to you to live a life of purpose, loneliness is a result. But what attracts people, now hear me, what attracts people to you is when you don't care you are lonely, but still pursue the vision, the call of God on your life. Bible said Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in a lonely place. Yet the people came to look for him. You will find your true self in a lonely place. I said, you and I will find our true self in the lonely place. Now, scripture gives plenty of examples of people who actually share this feeling and realities. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 34, cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? God forsake Jesus. Jesus went to the cross alone so that you and I may have free access to him. Hallelujah. That is the work of God, church. My God, why have you forsaken me? Elijah, in 1 Kings chapter 17, had to flee from King Ahab because of what? His prophetic utterance he made to Ahab. What a lonely place. Jeremiah was forbidden not to marry. Thus, he had no wife, no children. And he was even persecuted and betrayed by the people that he was serving. Jeremiah chapter 16. If you read the story, it is there. All these biblical foes faced loneliness because they decided to go for that which is important than the crowd. But maybe you are here, and this morning your case is different. Maybe you feel lonely because of what the world is throwing at you. Maybe you feel lonely or you are rejected for something you knew nothing about. Maybe you feel lonely because of a broken home, relationships, loss of job, sickness, life stories. The good news is that The good news is that there is a place in God for us to be redeemed and to be free in every situation. There is a place in God for redemption. Hallelujah. Now, in the book of Mark, let's also look at the book of Mark chapter 45, A. And the same, what we read, chapter 5, verse 45a, he says, Now, instead, he went out and began to talk freely, the guy, the leprosy guy. Instead, he went out to talk freely, spreading the good news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in a lonely place. Now, remember that Jesus, at this time, was at the height of popularity in his ministry. Very popular. But because he came to bear our iniquities and our suffering, when this leprosy man approached Jesus, there was a shift. This man was ceremonially unclean, right? He can't be touched. No one can touch him. What a lonely place in life. But when he met Jesus, there was a shift. This man now went out talking freely while Jesus was left alone. Jesus exchanged his popularity with the man for the man to go out there, set free, and Jesus bore his suffering. That is my prayer for someone this morning. I said, that is my prayer for someone this morning. That is my prayer for someone this morning. Maybe you are afflicted. Maybe you are sick. Maybe you have been rejected by family. But so long as you serve Jesus, Jesus will exchange his popularity and give you freedom. Hallelujah. This man went out freely, even though he was warned. But do you think Christ didn't know that this man would go and betray him? He knew. He knew that this man was going to do it. But he said, I will do it anyway. Because that's why I came. There was a shift. There was a shift. There was a shift. Now, so when you face or when you find yourself in a place of loneliness, the redemption is that start with God. Number one. In fact, this, I was talking to Pastor Brad last week or something, that when he asked me to preach this, this is a new subject. I haven't preached, this is a new one. That's why I'm reading too much. You can see, that's what it is. I was struggling how to go. So last week, in worship, while you're worshiping God, God said, don't take it easy on yourself, Maxwell. Let them start on me. Identify their fire team and forgiveness. So I told Pastor Brad, Pastor Brad, go ahead. That's what God wants you to do. So anytime, church, you find yourself in a place of or loneliness place, start with God. He never take away his presence from us. No. You can go to God 24/7. He'll be mad at you. In fact, he enjoys your presence. Start with God. See God from the place of your loneliness. Regardless of the root of your loneliness, we can always trust that God is with us. As we lean on Jesus, as we lean on God, we can continue to pray that God will bring the right people into our lives, restore our broken relationship, and satisfy our needs with human connections. It's very important. You can't be alone. Jesus had to sometime create that loneliness, aloneness for himself, for him to become who he is. Sometimes you have to hide from the crowd to become who you are. I cannot be you, and you can't make me be you. Amen? Jesus identified clarity. Now, let's look at David, what he did also. In fact, all the psalmists point to evidence that King David felt lonely quite often. Yet his loneliness, church, was exactly what actually drove him to God the more. In Psalm 25, verse 16, King David said, "Turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and deep distress." Now, followed by verse 17 and 18a, he said, "My problems go from bad to worse. Oh, save me from them all. Free my pains and see my troubles." This whole passage is a series of pleas to God help, because David felt, now the word is that David felt unseen and deserted by God. That's what he felt, right? Unseen and deserted by God. But instead of him, David, to be angry with God, I've heard this multiple of times in my office, I'm angry with God. I'm mad at God. And some of them, it's very legitimate. What they tell you, can hear the story, right? You feel that. But David did not get upset with God. He took a moment, he paused, took a deep breath, and humbly uttered these words. In Psalm 25, verse 20b to 21, he said, "In you I take refuge. May integrity and honesty protect me, for I put my hope in you." For I put my hope in you. For I put my hope in you. Maybe you are feeling lonely because of the loss of a spouse from separation. Maybe you are feeling lonely because of a divorce or even death. Maybe you are feeling lonely because of an empty nest, empty spot at the table, loss of friends, new seasons of life. It can even sometimes feel the strong when you were in crowded area. This is very difficult, but I will say it. Maybe with a spouse who made you feel invisible and unimportant, even though in their presence, proving loneliness is a state of mind and not a state of being. But regardless of the root of your loneliness, like I said, we can always trust that God is with us. Hallelujah. God is with us. You may be disconnected physically, but you are never, never, never disconnected spiritually. Amen. You may be disconnected physically, but you are not disconnected spiritually. Amen. Because Emmanuel, what is that? God is with us. God is with us. Start with God, and the rest will eventually fall into places. Hallelujah. It's like I'm doing a chaplain counseling. But say, stay with me. Amen. Now, in Psalm 34, verse 17, let's read the scripture in NIV. "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord deliver him from them all. He protect all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servant. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned." Hallelujah. That is your portion. When you find your place in the loneliness, don't ever say to yourself that you were alone. God is with us. Start with God. Seek him in your place of loneliness. Remember that you may be disconnected physically, but never in the spirit. Hallelujah. God is with us. Now, point number two, Now, anytime that you feel lonely, you should be able to identify those in your fire team. When I say fire team, maybe my RP1 will understand what I'm talking about. Now, imagine yourself in a circle, like as right now, where you are right now. Imagine yourself in a circle, like you are in the middle of a circle right now, right? Those in your fire team are the people that you can trust when something happens, that you can reach out to call for help. I encourage my sailors to at least have two or three people in their circle so that when something happens, you can reach out and call someone. Sometimes I ask them to raise their hands and someone will tell me, say, I have zero. I say, praise God, if you have zero, then put me there. Start with me. I'm your chaplain. Available. Put me there in your circle. At least you have one person. To reach out. In my life, I always thank God for my wife, my two daughters, my son, Jeshlord, my mother, my mother-in-law, some good friends, and now Pastor Chris and Pastor Brad, that I can count on them when I find myself in a lonely season. I can reach out for help. But you know, many Christians nowadays don't know how to reach out for help. I can do it all my own mentality. So I'm going to stay in there, keep the fire burning in me, and then when it exploded, I said, that's it. There's no meaning in life. You have to know how to reach out for help. Trust the body of Christ, church. Trust the leaders of the church. If you can't trust them, then who? Why are you here in the first place? I mean, let's be honest with you. If I can't trust Brother Adams, why should I sit here and listen to him? If there's no trust, then what? There's no relationship. And if that happens, I will not want to hear from you. If I don't trust Brother Matt or Brother Brad, I won't come. I'm not a hypocrite. No. I won't come and sit down here and listen. So we have to trust the leadership of the church so that when we go through challenges, we can reach out. They are godly men. They are godly people in this house that you can trust to share your struggles with. Those of you who are married here will attest to me. If you are married here, you know. Anytime something is broken in our homes, wife says, call someone to fix it. Husbands will say, why should I call someone when I can fix it? They don't even know how to fix it anyway. They don't know how to do it, but I said, I can fix it. Meanwhile, if you ask them why, they don't know what to do. Me in particular, my wife said, this broke it, call someone, I can do it. Then I kind of stand there like, what am I doing? I don't know how to do it. That's our mentality. All because you want to control everything in life. We are afraid of being turned down. If you're a man here, Pastor Brad asked me to do my thing. That's why I said I want this. I don't want this one. I'm used to this, not this. So I'm going to do my thing. If you're a man here and you're not married, you know how to ask? Know how to ask for help. Don't think you'll be turned down, so I'm going to keep it to myself. No. Ask for help. Don't think that you feel burden to someone. No. We share our burden together. As Christians, that's what I believe. So I should be able to listen to you, to you, to you, to you, and share our burden, meet you where you are, and walk alongside with you. Even if I can't help you, my presence will be there for you. Not judgmental, listen to you, meet you where you are, and then walk alongside with you. That is our responsibility as a Christian to our brethren. Some people hate anything called a handout. They give me a handout, so I hate it. They hate that. You come to me, You ask, tell me your problems. As a pastor, as a chaplain, I listen to you. I look at the pros and cons and all that. This is not physical. This is spiritual. Have you prayed? No, sir. If I prayed, that means I don't have no control. What do you mean by that? You got to seek God. There is nothing wrong for you and I to ask for help. It makes you a wise person. Amen? It makes you a wise person. Someone says that refusing to ask for help when you need, is refusing someone the chance to be helpful. We must never be afraid to get wise counsel and help when we feel lonely. Don't be shy about asking for help. It doesn't make you a lesser person, brother, sister. It makes you a better person. In fact, Bible encourages that. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 6 through 7, 1 Kings 12, 6 through 7, King Rehoboam consulted with the older advisors who had served his father Solomon when he was alive. He asked them, "How do you advise me to answer these people?" They said to him, "Today, if you show a willingness to help these people and grant their request, they will be your servant from this time forward." Sometimes, church, hear me this. God help us by himself. And sometimes, God help us through other people. Sometimes he just showed up when you were disappointed. When God trusts somebody and then the person disappoints you, yes, God can step in. He's an almighty, all-knowing God. But God trusts you. God trusts me. You see, let me tell you the journey. When the Israelites left, this is not in my notes, Pastor Brad. When Israelites left Egypt on their way, they built a tabernacle, right? To where they worship, they pray. And God said, "Okay, I'm done with this tabernacle." He brought in who? Solomon, to build the temple. Now, where if you go to Israel, the remnant is there. They worship him in the temple. Beautiful. Hey, but when Jesus came, they do away with the temple and the tabernacle. And he said, "You are my temple." You didn't hear me, church? God said, I are my temple, which means someone can come to you for help. You can answer someone's prayer. Because the temple was meant to pray, right? To worship, to pray, and God answers prayer. So if God said that, no more tabernacle, no more temple, but you are my temple, which means God can use you to answer my prayer. Let's treat our brethren well. I trust the church. No one can take you out of this church. You lie. You can't even do it. So don't try. No way. I've gone past that. You can't ask me, "Master, don't go to church." Probably I'll slap you. Because I know what I get here. I believe in the brethren. I believe in the body of Christ. I know that we are not perfect. We are working on our perfect. Our Christian journey is like swimming from here to that end. Maybe you have started from here because maybe Pastor Brad started earlier. So maybe I was able to swim from here all the way to this place. But I've still not got to the end, right? Maybe you just started. So you are just here and I am over there. But the issue is that the gap between me to the shore and the gap between whoever to the shore is filled by the grace of God. So come to church, be open-minded, be supportive, help. Don't be a lone ranger. You can't do it all. Trust the body of Christ. Know those in your fire team. Last point is forgiveness. Difficult to do. But forgiveness in this context is you and I moving back to hope from the place of loneliness, or residing in loneliness with the grace of God and patiently waiting for God to reach out to you. Brother Chris talked about forgiveness last time a lot, which I appreciated that. But I think if God wants me to repeat it, means there's something I want to share with the church. Moving from a place, moving to hope from a place of what? Loneliness. Or reside in your loneliness with expectation, with a hope that God will reach out to you. Giving up resentment, anger, fear, and entering into a deep understanding of what it is. It's very difficult because it is a conscious act to determine, right? But when you open up for forgiveness, what does it creates a space for dialogue to begin, right? And then changes begin to happen. It builds relationship, build wives. Anytime I have any misunderstanding with my wife, she would tell you, I can get angry sometimes, right? Righteous anger, though, not the bad ones. But I try not to let the sun set on my anger. Sometimes I try, struggle to let it go, right? Because it's our nature. We can't hold this in. Now, I tell my wife that, so if I hold it against you, what is the end? The point is that I won't divorce you, right? I'm not going to let you go anyway. You're not going anywhere, right? So if I hold it against you, what is the point? I'm not building anything to against you. So if something happens, we talk it over, I'm angry, you're angry, we talk it over, it's gone. But if I have an idea that, well, I'm going to let this go tomorrow, then I'll keep on, right, piling up. And next time I'll say, it is over. But that is not me. I'll hold it. I told Gift, hey, if you want to leave, you can go, but if you're going to go with me. She was surprised. I said, if you want to leave me, that's fine. You can leave me, but anytime you are leaving, make sure you don't leave me in this house. You go with me. Forgiveness creates space for dialogue to begin to happen. It is a place of forgiveness that we literally have our minds changed and we can see the possibilities before us. Let us practice that. And I believe God will meet our need. Amen. Mark 1 says that forgiveness is the fragrance. Mark 1, T-W-A-I-N. I want to spell it to you. Mark Twain, right? Is it Twain? Twain. He said, forgiveness is a fragrance that the flower leaves on the heels of the one who crushed it. And you, your chaplain, Abishai, I'm also telling you that forgiveness that we receive and the one that we let go to others have the same impact. So learn to forgive yourself. Forgive one another and let live in harmony and in unity. I call the prayer, the band to come. And then I'm going to end my sermon with two types of prayer points. I've asked Pastor Brad to come here to lead you in these prayers. Amen. Jesus, be in the mood of prayer. If you can stand up, you can stand up. That's okay. Let's enter into a place of prayer. This is a very heavy topic. But God is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He knew why He said we should talk about this today. If you are going through challenges because of situation, sickness, loss of job, family, home, whatever, that's put you in a place of loneliness. And you need the church to join hands with you and pray with you. If you are that person here, please come forward. That's number one. Number two, if you also find it difficult to forgive yourself and others because of something, please step forward. Every eye's closed. If you are in a place of loneliness, step forward. In the name of Jesus. 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 You can't forgive yourself. You can't forgive others. Step forward. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Let's take this time right now. If you need to respond, then come on. We're going to do it a little differently this morning. If you need to respond, you just come. And then the ministry team is going to come behind you. Put their hands lightly on your shoulder and pray for you and pray with you. So just come. If you need to extend forgiveness and receive forgiveness, if you're in a place of loneliness, admit it by coming forward. You know, it's okay. You're among friends here. Amen? Just come forward right now. If you need prayer for any this and anything else that maybe you're dealing with today, maybe there's just some other point that kind of resonated with you and you just need to receive that, just step forward right now. And ministry team, as they step forward, you come right behind them. Okay? Our ministry team will have a badge and they'll put their hand lightly on your shoulder and they'll just begin to pray for you. Hallelujah. They may come around in front of you and just say, how can I better pray for you? They may do that too. Hallelujah. But let's take this moment right now. Let me just say this. Those of you that are standing in front like this, yeah, take your hands, just like some of you have. Just hold your hands out open in front of you. It's just a posture that says, Lord, I receive. Lord, I release. Some of you need to release some stuff. Some of you need to receive. Come on, let's pray together. Father God, right now, there are some of us that need to receive forgiveness. There's some of us that need to release some stuff, God, and release ourselves from bondages and issues. Some of us need to do that. Some of us need to, God, to extend forgiveness to others. Some of us, God, are in a place of loneliness. God, it just seems like we're going to be stuck there. And we don't want to be. And Lord, help us to be part of a body of believers. And help this body to be, God, to be sensitive to all the members of it. And to be quick to extend help to those who are struggling. And maybe be quick to, God, to say, yeah, I'm really struggling. And God, may we be responsive to one another as well. We're just trusting you for this today. Hallelujah. We're just receiving your grace and your strength right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. And if you're too apprehensive to respond today, you know, I would encourage you, you know what, maybe right where you are, just open your heart. Or maybe you just need to take that step and come forward. By that step, you'll find freedom and healing. Hallelujah. Just continue to pray. Ministry team, I think what I want you to do right now is I want you just to move slowly, get in front of some of the folks here and just pray for them. Let them, the ministry team, they may ask you, how can I better pray for you? They'll do that. Anything you say to them is confidential, okay? They're all taught and trained, okay? And they'll just minister to you. They're all wearing a badge. You can see who they are. Hallelujah. Spirit of the living God. As they're doing this, we're going to sing. Come on, let's worship together. As the ministry team continues to move among you, let's sing.
Here I find my rest. And
Come on, let's sing it. Ministry team will continue to pray. I'm going to release you in just a moment. I'm going to pray and release you. And don't forget, ladies, brand new Bible study begins this week, online or in person. If you want to be involved in Seaport, engage as your first step Tuesday night. Join with us Wednesday night. Powerful opportunities for you and the whole family. Hallelujah. Opportunities to pray all this week. Be part of all these things as you can anyway. Lord, thank you. Help us, God. Some of us, we're apprehensive and we're kind of introverted, and so it's kind of tough for us to step forward, but help us to do that. God, those of us that are extroverted and have no problem talking to anybody, help us to go out of our way and, God, maybe find the person that maybe is a little lonely. And Lord, maybe those that, God, are in marriages where we feel lonely, God, may there be a new level of intimacy and closeness that comes too. And God, this holiday season, many of us struggle with loneliness, but may we find the body of Christ near, and more importantly, your presence close. We just trust you, Lord. Help us in the busyness of the season not to overlook anybody. Help us to step in. And God, when people do ask and they do step in, may we be responsive. We trust you in these, for all these things. Amen, friends? Amen. If you need prayer, come and continue to receive it. If you need to go, God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Hallelujah. God bless you.
Righteousness, oh God, how I need.